What did global leaders talk about in South Korea? Ireland, of course.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The G20 meeting is concluded in South Korea. World leaders didn't reach any conclusion concerning trade and currency matters. No requirement for countries to limit imbalances, which is something U.S. officials had wanted. So what did we get out of that summit? Economist Chris Lowe is with FTN Financial.
We didn't come out with a document, certainly, which would have been nice. But considering the level of animosity toward the U.S. going into the meeting, I think it's a step in the right direction we can build on in the future.
Now, economic leaders around the world have shifted their focus to the debt problems of a small, distant European economy. It is not Greece this time. It's Ireland. Investors are worried that the Irish government may not be able to pay back all the debt it owes. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Fears are growing about Ireland's ability to pay its debts. Investors have been dumping Irish government bonds, and the worries have spread to other countries that use the euro. So the currency has suffered too. It's fallen sharply against the dollar, and that's had a curious consequence. The dollar has rallied just as the US was taking flak at the G20 summit for driving down the greenback by printing more money. Neil McKinnon is with the VTB Capital Group.
The dollar is actually stabilizing. It's the euro that's in the spotlight. It's the euro that's under pressure because of what you might consider as round two of the eurozone debt crisis.
But while this may deflect international criticism away from the US, it will make life a bit harder for US exporters. A higher dollar means American goods will be more expensive abroad. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are off right now. The S&P down about 0.9%. Same for the NASDAQ, pretty much. The Dow is lower now by 69 points, more than 0.5% at 11,213. Markets are down around the world, as a matter of fact, with fears about Irish sovereign debt, as Stephen mentioned. Fast food giant Wendy's said today it lost money in the latest quarter thanks to higher food costs and weak sales. The Federal Reserve today starts its latest round of buying up Treasury bonds. Over the coming months, the Fed will invest $600 billion buying U.S. and corporate debt. Now, many on Capitol Hill, particularly newly reinvigorated Republicans, plan to grill Fed Chief Ben Bernanke about the move. They worry the Federal Reserve might be a wee bit too independent. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Some Republicans don't think that the Fed pumping more money into the U.S. economy is a good idea. Sarah Palin says Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke should cease and desist. And some criticize the Fed itself. Congressman Ron Paul is next in line to chair the subcommittee that oversees monetary policy.
He's going to torture Bernanke.
Jerry O'Driscoll is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Congress tortures with hearings, he says. But Ron Paul says the real torture is the threat of inflation and a devalued dollar if the Fed just keeps printing money. And so Bernanke should answer questions about his policies.
He's going to be tortured by current events. He's going to be tortured by the economy. He's going to be tortured by the fact that his policies are failed.
Economist Alan Meltzer says the problem is the Fed doesn't have an overseer.
I don't think that's a good arrangement, and I don't think it's one that the public, if they understood it, would want.
And that's the real issue. Americans don't understand what the Fed really does, or the consequences. Next year, with a new Congress, they may get the chance to learn a whole lot more. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
A museum that highlights American Jewish history opens its doors this weekend in Philadelphia, but organizers wanted to be true to the religion, so there were discussions about when to open and how to do business, reporter Joel Rose explains.
On the day I visited, the front desk clerks at the National Museum of American Jewish History were using fake money to test out the registers.
All right, so the total for that is $90 towards your family membership one.
When the museum opens, the clerks will take in real cash, except on Saturday, a According to religious law, Jews aren't supposed to work or handle money on Shabbat. Museum director Michael Rosenzweig says this prompted some heated discussions among the board members.
There were some on the board who felt we should simply close for all Jewish holidays and Shabbat. There were some who felt we should never close.
That tension between religious observance and integration shows up many times in the museum's exhibits about the history of Jews in America. In the end, Rosenzweig says the board settled on a compromise.
We decided to remain open on Saturdays and on most Jewish holidays, but on those days, we will not engage in commercial transactions on the premises of the museum.
The museum and its gift shop will accept credit cards on Shabbat, but it won't actually process the transactions until the holiday is over. Jewish museums all over the country wrestle with doing business on Saturday. Judy Margolis chairs the Council of American Jewish Museums.
You might miss outreach to the non-Jewish audiences, people who are out on the street on a Saturday, people who don't have a lot of time during the week to visit your museum.
That's a concern for the National Museum of American Jewish History in Philadelphia. Its new building is practically next door to Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell. And Michael Rosenzweig expects Saturdays to account for a quarter of attendance.
We are on Independence Mall. Saturday is a huge day on the mall. That would be a very significant sacrifice of revenue.
Rosenzweig says he'd like the museum to be free on Shabbat, like some other Jewish institutions. But he says that will only work if he finds a generous donor to make up the difference. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And finally, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II has a new Facebook page. It's just a few days old and already has tens of thousands of fans. Unfortunately, some people haven't been very nice on her wall. One commenter wrote to the Queen, quote, "Get a job, pay your taxes, and be productive." Well, that's what you get, Your Majesty, when you mingle with the commoners. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Check us out online. Grab the podcast while you're there, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Big chains from Toys R Us to Borders are leasing temporary spaces and opening pop-up stores.
It's really, I think, about capturing the consumer's first impulse to make a purchase.
I'm Bob Moon. Visit while it lasts next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.